Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan and I'm joined always by the Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Lots to talk about today. Excited, one of my heroes is back on the show. We've got Bobby Slick Leonard and, Pacers won. There is no Game 7 and to tell you the truth, I'm so fired up about it. I can hardly contain myself, Coach. I'm just excited and hopefully we can play better at home against the Heat.
Well, it's going to be critical, Joe. The Heat aren't going to be a team that's going to let you come back after poor performances. But let's face it, folks. I mean, seriously, and Joe and I feel the same way on this. First of all, we've got the great legendary Slick Leonard on the show today. He's going to come up in about 10 minutes. And then we've got who's hot, who's not, with our contributor out of Indy, Don Schultheis. Mark Harder of the NASCAR Motorsports World is going to join us in an interview with Joe later in the show. So we've got a lot going on, but the Pacers are the critical part of the show as we start this first hour. How can you not be excited? We're talking about a series that was a struggle from the beginning with the Wizards, a series that was a struggle from the beginning with the Hawks, and as Coach Vogel so aptly and appropriately put it, all those things don't matter anymore because we won the series and we're moving on to the conference finals. So the sun is shining, the rain has stopped, the gloom and doom from all the media except for Coach K and Joe is gone. I'm going to read you a tweet. This is Coach K Speaks the Truth. This is a tweet, Joe, that I put out after Game 5 when the sky was falling, California was falling into the ocean, all the icebergs were melting in the North Pole. Everything was amiss as the Pacers put up a lackluster effort and getting blown out by John Wall, former Kentucky star, and the Wizards. I tweeted immediately. Go check it out, folks. Go check the Twitters. One game is one game, and this is especially true in the NBA and the playoffs. It is not odd to see a team fail to close the series out at home and then go win on the road the next game. I'm not going to say that I'm a psychic or anything like that, but, folks, you've got to understand in sports when you have a multiple-game series, as long as people are healthy, and I know mentally Hibbert hasn't been, whether you get beat by 30 or whether you get beat by 3, a loss is a loss. And the good players and the good teams understand that, and they move on. They move on. Joe, I know you're going to go get our first guest. Have you gone to do that yet?
I'm not doing it. I'm getting ready to. I was listening to your opening comments about the Pacers because you know I'm a Pacer freak and I'm fired up for the Heat. And I called my daughter in Miami and trash talked her and her friends after the game and started the trash talking already. But I'm going to go get legendary coach Bobby Slick Leonard right now, Coach.
Okay, and you know what, folks? I can tell you right now, there's nobody better at trash talking than Joe. Joe's great at it. Whether he's got anything to back it up or not, he's great at it. And I'm more the contrarian at times. As positive as I can be and as much as I believe that you can accomplish anything and people pull together, they can get it done, as the Pacers did on the Wizards' home court, I'm contrarian in a lot of ways when it's first talked about. I've got a contrarian attitude a little bit as I decipher it, because I never think anything's as good as people say it is, and I never think anything's as bad. So I'm sure that Joe, in the media world, was all over his daughter, Ryan, who lives down in Miami, and it's going to be a great series. The great thing, folks, is the Pacers have the home court advantage to start. The bad thing is, folks, and those of you who have been watching the Pacers play, The bad thing is they haven't done a very good job of holding the home court to start a series. So it's going to be interesting how Frank Vogel and the boys get this done. You know what else is interesting? And we may bring this up with Coach Leonard, Bobby Slick Leonard, coming on the show here in about 8 minutes. I think the great thing that's interesting is Larry Bird has kind of been in the background on this, not a whole lot of discussion, probably because some of the trades didn't work out the way we would have liked them to, or did they? Let's think about it. Andrew Bynum, we got him off the market. He didn't help the Pacers, but guess what? He's not going to hurt the Pacers. That's right. He's not going to hurt the Pacers. So when you think about that, when you think about, well, Larry didn't do a very good job with the Andrew Bynum trade, what do you mean? He took him off the market, and in the event he would have been healthy, in the event that he could have contributed, in the event that he could have given somebody 6 or 8, 10, 12 solid minutes, 5 fouls to give, whatever it might be, it may have been a good trade after all. I've got to look at the things that we don't see. That's what coaches do. Coaches look at the things. Leaders look at the things you don't see, the things that aren't readily apparent. So the guy that's sitting out there in the Bloomington Hills area of Indiana saying, well, Larry didn't get that one right. I think he did. And what about Evan Turner? Well, he hasn't played a significant role, and some may say that he hurt the Pacers' chemistry. But you know what? In this game, conference finals, to beat the Heat, having someone who is capable of giving you minutes, score, and who has to be defended, folks. If you have to be defended, then you open up some of the other players. Stevenson, great job in game 6. Hibbert stepping up his play again. Not big numbers, but he was a force. West was outstanding. I can't wait to get Slick's ideas. But, you know, the big thing going in this Pacer thing, these games with the Heat, folks, I've said it before on the show. Listen to the podcast. Hold me to what I say. I'm worried about their passing. It's almost elementary at times, and I will bring that up with the legend of Indiana, Slick Leonard, when he comes on. A couple things before we get to Slick Leonard here in a little bit. Joe's off to take care of all that. We're going to see when we can hook up. He's busy right now. The Pacers are winning. They're still alive, and so we're going to work on getting him hooked up, but hopefully he'll be on in this first half hour. On Twitter, Tom Dienert of TheBigTenNetwork.com, senior writer, he has an article out there, and you might want to go to BTN.com and take a look at it. Morgan Burke, athletic director at Purdue, is one of the athletic directors administrators coming out and saying athletes should get stipends. Now, to get a full feeling of the article, you need to read it. So go to BTN.com, Tom Dienert talks about Morgan Burke's comments as athletic director saying athletes should get stipends. I think that's really interesting, especially coming out of Purdue. Purdue kind of gets a rap in the Big Ten as being kind of one of the conservative athletic departments when it comes to money. They get a little conservative in how they pay and what they're willing to put out there. And it's interesting that he would be outwardly supportive for stipends. So go to that. Tom Dienert, regular contributor to the show, BigTenNetwork.com. Go to his article. Morgan Burke, Purdue athletic director, talks about stipends for athletes. He's for it. I think Tom Dienert's for it. It will be interesting how you can make that happen. Hey, Joe's telling me we've got the great, the legendary, the man, Bobby Slick Leonard, you name it, he's done it in Indiana. I think he saved pro sports in Indiana. That's my opinion. I think they ought to have a Mount Rushmore up in front of banker's life of him. But Coach Leonard's ready to go. Joe, we got Coach Leonard.
Yes, we do. We're ready to go. You want to go to a commercial break first?
Okay, we're going to go to a quick break. We got to give credit to the people who support us. Folks, when we come back, don't miss this. Call your friends. Send your emails. We got Coach Bobby Slick Leonard. We're going to talk Pacers. We're going to talk Beat the Heat. And we're going to see if we can figure out why the Pacers are such a bad passing team. We're going to go to break. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Toyota in Jasper. You know what happens when you sell a bunch of new Toyotas? You trade for hundreds of great pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities. Many are certified, have factory warranty remaining, fully inspected, and they're all priced to sell. Hurry in for the best selection. Ubelar & Sons Toyota, where customers send their friends for a great pre-owned vehicle since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Kent Benson, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm pumped, folks, not just for the Pacers' victory, but I'm even more pumped for our next guest, Bobby Slick Leonard. I think he saved pro sports in Indiana, but that's my opinion. Coach Leonard, welcome to the show.
How's everything down there? Is it raining?
You know what? When the Pacers win, the rain goes away, the clouds part, the good Lord brings the sun out. And Coach, I think everybody in Indiana, at least any Pacer fan anywhere, is just taking a big sigh. They slept better last night, and they're pretty excited for home court advantage and the Heat coming up.
Well, I'll tell you, when this series started, I had watched Washington play against Chicago. They took them out in five games, and they looked impressive doing it. I had my doubts that we would win three games in Washington, but we pulled it off.
You know, Coach, I think a lot of fans, and even though I've coached high school basketball and worked at college camps and things like that, but you're the pro-level guy, and I wanted to ask you a couple questions about that. What is it that would cause teams to have intensity, what I call intensity gaps at home, and then go on the road, and you get the opposite? You get great effort and play from the Pacers on the road, and really poor play last night from the Wizards at home. Is the travel got anything to do with it? I mean, what goes on physically and mentally for these guys for something like that?
Well, the travel has nothing to do with it. I mean, even though, I still do home games, I got off the road. But you go out to the airport, there's a charter plane waiting there. They take your luggage and put it on there for you. You get wherever you're going, and you land in a charter facility, and they come out and put your bags on the bus. I mean, and you get the hotel, they come and get your bags and put them in a room. I mean, the travel's a piece of cake. It really is. I think going to those ball games, 82 game schedule's a long schedule, no question about that, but I think you have to look at the psychology of the game. The other night we came out, we had a 3-1 lead in the series, and I think we thought it was going to be easy, and we didn't come out to play, and we got thumped pretty good.
It was almost hard to watch at times. to see the Wizards and John Wall. They shot exceptionally well at Bankers Life. We didn't seem to get a hand up to contest. We didn't rotate very well. One of the things the Pacers have done pretty well in this series, especially when they win, is play decent defense. And then last night they come out on the road. They seem to play solid. The thing that shocked me, Coach, the Washington Wizards crowd was never in the game. There was no sixth man available to them from a crowd standpoint, and the Pacers just seemed to come ready to accomplish the task. I guess Pacer fans are just confused on why can't we get this done at home early in a series, and even though we have the home court advantage going into this Miami series for a conference championship, we haven't played well at home to start the series.
Well, we better play well at home now, because this we got Sunday afternoon and Tuesday, and if you don't play well against Miami, they'll beat you to death. They in the Brooklyn series, and that's the way they play. They spread you out. They put those three shooters in a corner. And poor old Brooklyn, they had a game one in Brooklyn, and Chris Bosh hits one out of one corner. And then the next night in Miami, they've got Miami on the ropes again, and Ray Allen hits one out of the other corner. So they spread you out, and then they got the best player on the planet. There's no question about that. So it's going to be a tough series. It's going to be a tough one.
You've seen a lot of great players come in, and I just want to play off of one of your comments. A guy like Ray Allen, you know, people say a shooter's got to shoot. He was 0 for 6 up to that point in the game from 3 twice. Here comes the ball. I'm ready. Puts it up. Hits a big shot. He did that last year in the playoffs. There's a guy, his skills as far as his physical quickness, those types of things have diminished with age. It happens to all of us, unless you're on steroids. But he still has the mental toughness to knock down those big shots, and he's not scared to take them.
Well, once you're a great shooter, as you well know, 80% of it is mental. And all the great shooters, they will shoot, and they're having a night where, like you said, he's 0 for 6. But in his mind, he's thinking he's going to hit the next 10 in a row. So he's going to keep firing at you. So you better play him tough.
You know, Coach, before I get into the positives of the Pacers, I just want to hit on some concerns. And you talked about how the Heat will spread you out a little bit. Well, also, they're very active defensively with their hands. Their arms are up. Their hands are moving. Their feet are always moving. I'm a little concerned at some of almost at times the elementary passing mistakes the Pacers make, the long passes from out front on the top of the key, the difficult passes from the top of the key into the wing, the double teams. We don't split. We try to throw just a straight pass, and it gets picked off. What do you have concerns like I do about that? What is it with this Pacer group where they don't pass take and they don't throw bounce passes when they need to, and they just don't seem to look people off, almost elementary passing mistakes at times?
Well, they take too many chances. I mean, when for example, in the Washington series, when they were overplaying the passing lanes and they're up on a guy, and we try to hit him. And they steal the ball and go on down to the other end and lay it in. We make a lot of passes where there's no pass to be made. And then, you know, the other thing is sometimes, well, all the time, there's great passers. You take Larry Bird, for example. Larry Bird was the greatest passing forward in the history of the NBA. Some guys aren't good passers. Paul George is not a good passer. He's not a good passer. He doesn't see the floor. Probably the guy that sees the floor the best but takes too many gambles is Lance Stephenson, and he'll throw it away. But he does see the floor, and he'll make a spectacular pass. And when he does, you don't know what's going to happen next. But we get a little careless with the ball, and the coaches are on them all the time. If we can keep those turnovers down to somewhere around 12 to 14, then we're in good shape. But when we start turning it over and it gets up there in the low 20s, then that's a new ball game.
Yeah, and what concerns me is the guys like you called the greatest player on the planet, LeBron James, and some of those guys, they get themselves moving defensively. You got that long 6'8", 6'9", arm out there. That changes that passing lane real quick. And if you're floating passes, if you're throwing them into tight quarters, he's going to get a hand on it. A couple of those other guys are going to get a hand on it. Like you said, go the other way. Now, speaking of last night, you brought up Lance Stephenson. Really came up big for us, as did West. It was a team effort. There's no doubt about it. But we got two good efforts from Stephenson and West, perimeter post, and it was good to see that because sometimes some of those guys are missing. They're missing in the games on a consistent basis. So your thoughts on their play last night?
Well, I thought you mentioned the Washington crowd. The only time they came alive was when Beal hit that shot that put them ahead by 1 point. And other than that, in that ball game, I don't think we played great, but I think Washington, I was surprised the way Washington played. After beating us to death in here in game five, I was a little surprised at the way they played, but you know, we had a good team effort, and our ball club is a club that we cannot afford to have three guys out of the starting lineup have bad ball games, and that's happened before. I mean, that's happened. I've seen George Hill and Roy Hibbert disappear. So we're going into a series, and this is a strong suit, and you brought this up. This is a strong suit Miami has. They can turn their defense up better than anybody in the NBA. They will jump all over you. They'll double-team you down in the corners. They'll do all the things that makes it tough. So that's the kind of series it's going to be. And you win. I've been a lot of big time series in my time playing and coaching. You and I both know that the defensive end and the rebounding night in and night out is what wins ball games for you.
Oh, there's no doubt about it, Coach. You hit it on the head. A lot of people are just watching that ball go through the hoop. But I'll tell you what, you got to rebound and you got to defend, just like you said. That's why I liked Indiana throughout the season and why I'm worried about the Heat, because they haven't had the ability in games I've watched to just turn that defensive intensity up. And when their momentum gets going, if you're not making good passes, if you're not pass faking, if you're not looking guys off, if you're not cutting when the double teams happen to open up a passing lane, that's when it just becomes so sticky for a team, and we've got to pass well. The other thing is we got to hit our shots, because you know what? The other team can't get out and go if you're hitting shots. Now, you can go on made baskets, but it makes it a lot better when you hit shots. I just got a text message from one of our listeners, Coach, and they're asking me to ask you, is David West emerging as the team leader on the floor for these Pacers?
Well, he has been all year. David West is a real pro. He's a real pro. You go back several years back, Reggie Miller was a real pro. That's a guy that comes out every night and gives you what it takes to win. That's all they think about is winning. And he has a voice in the dressing room also. So, yeah, David West has been the leader of this ball club.
And we saw at least in Coach, maybe you can kind of teach us a little bit. Hibbert's had his issues, and we're not going to get into what goes on behind the scenes or if there was anything. But all of a sudden, in the Washington series, he starts to play better. Is part of that because of the type of the matchups that Washington posed versus the Hawks? Or has he just found his way back a little bit? Because let's face it, if he can do nothing else for the Pacers but protect the rim against the drives by the Heat, as we saw last year how important it was, the Pacers are just a much better team when he's doing that. But what about the reemergence of Roy Hibbert? What's your take on what you're seeing? And is it partly the matchups, or is it just somewhere he got his head straightened out a little bit?
Well, Roy Hibbert, if you know Roy, Roy is not a tough guy. He's an easygoing guy, and he got in a, if you want to call it a funk, where it got worse and worse and worse, and he lost confidence. But then his teammates took hold of him, David West, Paul George, and they sat down and talked to him. They said, hey, we can't win without you. You've got to get back to doing the same things. You've got to get more physical. And consequently, he has. And his college coach from Georgetown came in, and that helped him some. And his agent, David Falk, I saw both of them there in a ball game earlier in the series. So he's one of those guys. And last night I thought the one thing that he did that I really noticed was finally he went after a ball, went up and stuffed a shot. I mean, jammed it. So when he's physical and protecting the rim, we can win.
And you know, Coach, those are little things that people may not realize are important, but when guys start doing that again, you know, there's no hesitation. There's no, I'm going to wait and see where I just go get it and get it done. Because the guy's enormous. He takes up so much space, and it is amazing how even a LeBron James has to think twice before taking it to the rim when Roy's there and Roy's moving like Roy can move. So I'm excited to see that. I hope he gets off to a great start against the Miami Heat. Coach, when you look at this series, to beat the Heat, I love saying that, beat the Heat, home court advantage, what are the first couple things that come to your mind? What do the Pacers have to do if they're going to put themselves in a position, one, to make this a long series, if possible, or two, to come out ahead and win this thing?
Well, the one big thing about Miami, now, you cannot let them break you down and get to the hoop, because then if Big Roy would step in and all this kind of thing, that they'll throw it back outside and hit those three shooters. But basically what has beaten Miami is when you have a good, tough defense that makes them shoot from outside. That makes them shoot from outside. A couple, two or three years ago, Rick Carlisle, Dallas, played Miami in the World Championships, and Rick put together a zone where they couldn't get into the middle of the floor, and they couldn't drive. LeBron couldn't drive. He had to shoot from outside. And mentally, it really bothered Miami when they started missing shots, and Dallas won the series. So it's no different than any other game. You walk inside those black lines, you've really got to compete. I mean, you've got to compete at a high level, and that's not one guy. That's everybody. Everybody has to compete. You've got to be physical, and if you do that, you do all you can do, then let the cards fall where they may.
Yeah, and these guys are professionals. You know, we can't say they haven't been there. Even though the Pacers are still a young team, they've been there. They know what this is all about. Coach Vogel said after the game last night, as any coach should say, listen, whatever we've gone through, it doesn't matter. How poorly we played in the couple of games, we've won the series, we're moving on, and that's what we got to focus on, where we're going. Eliminating easy transition baskets by, we've talked about it. You can't make the silly turnovers to lead to easy transition baskets for the Heat. But I think you make a great point, Coach, and I don't think people realize this. You watch a LeBron James, and if he's forced to shoot on the perimeter, you got a much better shot at beating him. He really heats up when he gets some easy moves and tough moves to the basket. That just gives him great confidence to hit those outside shots. But if you can start him on the perimeter and kind of keep him there, although that's tough to do, if you can do that, you eliminate a big part of his game in getting hot and getting to where he gets other people involved in the game. And we know it from coaching. You know it. We knew it as players, you on the much higher levels. When teams just stand around and shoot long shots, you're not going to be effective long term. Now, even Brooklyn, they had a big night from the three-point line the other night. They were 15 of 25 against the Heat. But still, they needed inside opportunities to win that game, and they need the Heat not to play well. So the Pacers, I agree with you. Rick Carlisle's idea with Dallas, we got to somehow keep those guys out on the perimeter and make them settle for what's easy, and that's a jump shot.
Well, one of the big things about it is if you let LeBron make moves, which the guy is great, let's face it. But if you let him make moves and he starts going to the hoop on you, these referees, they'll put him on the line 90% of the time. Because I've seen him go in there a lot of times and not get hit, and they put him on the line. So that's been the way it's been ever since I was a player in the NBA. The marquee players get the calls, and he's the biggest marquee player in the league, and he gets a lot of calls.
Yeah, he does. There's no doubt about it. What should we expect from Paul George in this series? What does he have to do to help the Pacers step up another level?
Well, when you look at the defensive assignments, now he just came off of, the thing that bothers me a little bit, Paul has been playing a lot of minutes. Now, Frank's given him today off, and probably tomorrow, Saturday, they'll watch movies of the Washington series because they need some rest. They need a little bit of rest. Thank goodness that there's a couple days here before they have to go in. And, it's an afternoon ball game. But he's got to defend LeBron James. That's a defensive matchup. So then that puts David West on Chris Bosh. So David's going to have to go out on the floor. This is a ball club that I can't remember if Roy has to go out on the floor. I can't remember. Let's see who else there. But they're starting out with Chalmers and. Who's the other guard they're starting with? I can't think of it.
I can't either.
Who,
I? I can't.
Oh, Dwayne Wade.
Dwayne Wade.
Think of the other guard. Now, there's another guy you don't want to let him get off on you. And once you do get him stopped, stay on your feet because that's his big play. He gives you that head and shoulder fake. And then jumps into you, and they put him on the line. But that's Lance Stevenson's job. Lance will be on Dwayne Wade. George Hill will be on Chalmers. Paul George will be on LeBron. And David West will be on Bosh. Now, whoever they start in the middle, then that's Roy.
and it's going to be an exciting – I mean, the lead-up's going to be exciting. I'm hoping that the Pacers are rising to the occasion because they're prepared and they're ready and they've been there before. There's no excuses. You just got to come play, and you got to play your best. Home court advantage, everything in our hands. We just got to play. Coach, it was great to have you again. Thanks for coming on. Folks, don't forget, he's got a wonderful book out. Boom, baby. Wonderful book by Coach Leonard. And, Coach, as I've said before, I think you saved pro sports in Indiana, and they should have a Mount Rushmore-like statue of you out in front of Banker's Life or somewhere up there in Indianapolis.
Well, it's been a good life. You know, basketball has been a great life, and Nancy and I have been blessed. No question about it.
Well, we appreciate you coming on, and continued blessings to you and your family. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more NBA. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? We'll team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. Well, folks, this is why you should be listening to Coach K and Joe Show. This is why more people should be. When you have living legends like Slick Leonard, who has played at every level, coached at the highest levels, understands what all this is about, going into conference championships and hopefully the NBA Finals. I love that he's willing to be upfront and honest, to tell it like it is with such integrity when he does it. But, Joe, just a wonderful to have Coach Leonard as we get ready for the Miami Heat series.
Yeah, it's great to have a legend like Coach Leonard on the Coach K and Joe Show. You know, I remember going to the fairgrounds with my father and watching Coach many great Pacer teams back in the ABA days. And, you know, at the Milligan household, when I lived in Noblesville back when we used to live up there so we could go to so many games, there was only a red, white, and blue ball used at the Milligan household. There was no orange ball. An orange basketball did not exist. It was only red, white, and blue.
Yeah, and he's just a legend. He's just a legend. Coming up later in this hour, as we end up the first hour of the show, we'll have our ever-popular and growing in popularity segment, Who's Hot, Who's Not, with indie contributor Don Schulteis coming on. That'll be towards the end of the first hour. In the second hour, we have an interview. Joe's going to be talking with Mark Harder. Growing up, we called him Tubby. He's very involved in motorsports and NASCAR, living out in Arizona, I believe. So that'll be interesting to hear Joe and Mark talk a little bit. If you're a NASCAR fan, stay tuned. He'll be coming up in the second hour. Staying with our NBA theme, I want to stay with that a little bit. I do want to touch base on some high school happenings. As you know, this is transition time for some schools and some coaches, not as many as there used to be because of financial restrictions. Schools don't change coaches as often, which is a good thing for everybody involved. And a lot of times there are hirings from within. But we do know Edgewood High School, which is made up of Ellettsville and some surrounding small communities up near Bloomington, they just hired or will be making a hire. I believe it's the head coach at Rockville High School, Muharin is his name. DeKalb is getting ready to fill their job up north. A DuBois County coaching job may be coming open. I won't get into that because it's really not something I don't like to do conjecture. Gibson Southern is hiring a coach former U of E Aces basketball player. He's been at Pike Central as a coach and as administrator, most recently as administrator. Kyle Runyon will be going to Gibson Southern to fill that boys' basketball position. Pike Central is hiring their coach this week. I believe it may be the assistant coach from Bossy High School, maybe the next head coach at Pike Central on the boys' side, and they've also hired a girls' coach as well. So one of the probably more high-profile situations going on in the state, up in Noblesville, where longtime basketball coach Dave McCullough was not retained as the head coach by the school board due to basically the posse of a few parents who were unhappy with their child's playing time and picked out incidents to just continue to push forward. And I'm not going to get into all of that, but I do know at the school board meeting it's being reported that there will be a large contingent of pro Coach McCullough fans coming up to be heard, but I think they are in that meeting to hire a new basketball coach as well. So, you know, it's just not a good situation for anyone. You know, sometimes, and I've been in it, folks, just a few years ago I was in a position at a school as an executive director. The board changed. The other leadership positions changed, and it was clear that the new board president and I were not going to coexist. Biggest reason, you know, sometimes people are just so arrogant and so they want it their way. And at that point, you got to make a decision. So you either can walk away or you can fight and divide the school and divide the supporters and divide the faculty. But that's not what you do. That doesn't help anybody. That doesn't help anybody. So I wish the situation at Noblesville, it's not going to change. I hope that people will just step back. Coach McCullough will be able to somehow soften it a little bit and let the school move forward, because in the end, it's all about the kids. It's all about the kids. And if you're dividing the school, dividing the supporters, then you're going to cause division with the kids and the players and the team. And that's not what it's all about. And, folks, I can say that because I've been there and been in situations where, you know, with everything you want have, you want to fight. People are telling you, we'll support you and we'll go argue this and we'll send, you know. But you know what? You're becoming a part of the problem. You're joining the problem. And that's not good for anybody. What's going on in the NBA? We've got Donald Sterling is not going away. He is going to continue to fight. He is going to fight the fine levied by the NBA, and I think it was like $2.5 million, wasn't it, Joe? Was it $2 million, $3 million fine?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Yeah, I think it was the highest fine that they could levy. And he's going to fight that. He said, I didn't do anything wrong. And you know what? I don't know what his contractual agreement, what his constitutional the Constitution reads for the NBA owners. He didn't do anything wrong legally. Morally, ethically, character, integrity, yeah, probably all kinds of things wrong. So he's a lawyer by trade, and he's got $1 billion to fight this. So he's going to fight that fine, and I'm sure it's going to lead into the fight with the rest of the ownership. Marcellus Wiley from Sports Nation on ESPN, he's a Clippers fan. He was on this morning on the Mothership, Mike and Mike show, and, you know, he was saying, oh, we got to make these owners do a public vote, all this other stuff. I don't agree with him. I don't agree with him. I think Marcellus Wiley's a typical media guy, and he wants to get this thing to blow up and stay in the news for a while. Listen, Donald Sterling screwed up, and I don't care if the vote is half. As long as the majority vote moves him out of his ownership position, that's all that matters. And let's move on. And that doesn't mean racism either way, from black to white, white to black, Spanish, whatever it is, Latino, it's okay. It's not okay. But let's move on. You know, Doc Rivers said, I'm not leaving the Clippers. At least that's what he came out publicly and said. I'm not leaving the Clippers. Donald Sterling was on Anderson Cooper. And, you know, Donald, stay off the media trail. It's not helping you. You're just not in a position to do that. He calls out Magic Johnson. And then Magic Johnson comes out and responds. You know what? If I was Magic Johnson, I would have never said a word, Billy, in what Donald Sterling has to say. And Adam Silverman came out for the NBA and apologized to Magic Johnson again. Not necessary. Every time someone comes out to rebut Donald Sterling or apologize for something Donald Sterling said, they just give Donald Sterling more airtime. Make him a non-factor. Act like you don't even care what he says right now, because the deal is done. You're going to make the vote. You're going to finish the deal. He's going to be out. He's going to continue to make noise. But every time you react to his comments, every time you come out and talk about it, he gets his chance to be heard again. So I wish Magic wouldn't have done that. I don't think the NBA commissioner needed to do it. He spoke about it already. All he does is open the door for more fodder and more ammunition to run back and forth. And believe it or not, folks, most of you listening understand this. You understand Donald Sterling should not be in the NBA. But I'm telling you right now, and some of you may be listeners to the show, some of you think, hey, what Donald Sterling did was wrong, but he shouldn't lose his team over it. Okay? And that's just the facts. That's just how some people think. Other NBA news. Steve Kerr, former NBA great, college great. He hasn't been coaching. He does some TV analyst work. He was the front runner for the Knicks job. He passes on Phil Jackson, and he goes to Golden State, where I think he'll hold the coaching position and possibly either general manager or president of operations, something to that effect. Why does he choose Golden State? Why not? I tweeted again. Let me read you one of my tweets. Somebody asked, which job should Steve Kerr go to? And I said Golden State was the best job opening for Kerr, because New York, you have the shadow of the Axeman. You know who the Axeman is? Phil Jackson. No matter what happens, if you win, it's going to be Phil Jackson. If you lose, and folks, you're probably going to lose in New York right now, the Axeman's shadow is going to be hanging over you. Phil Jackson needs to come out of the office and take the team. Phil Jackson's going to make a move. Phil Jackson picked his guy. He's not working out. He's got to make a transition. It's a no-win situation. In New York, it's just not very good. The team chemistry isn't either. And then L.A., people say, what about the Lakers? Kobe Bryant is the problem for the Lakers. And you might say, Coach K, what are you talking about? Well, I'll tell you what I'm talking about. Kobe Bryant is not the player he was. He's not going to be the player he was. He's injured. And those injuries are tough to overcome late in your career. So you're going in expecting Kobe Bryant to be Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant's not going to be Kobe Bryant. So you've got a lame or physically injured player that's going to be limited. A limited superstar is the best way to put it. A limited superstar with too much power. He's got too much power within the organization, and he's got too much power in the media. And so whoever comes in there and coaches, if you got a problem, it's going to be multiplied, because Kobe Bryant, if he's involved in any way, and if for some reason he tries to come back and he gets hurt again, how much worse is it going to be? So I think Golden State was the best opportunity up that opened up. Stan Van Gundy goes to Detroit. If you remember Stan Van Gundy, he was in the middle of things with Howard at Orlando, and unfortunately, Howard should have been the one to go, not Stan Van Gundy. But in the NBA, the coach goes first. So Dwight Howard's not there anymore. Stan Van Gundy's not there. Last couple of years, he's been doing analyst work for ESPN and NBA. He is now the head man at Detroit. He's also the team president. It's got to be a tough situation. He's going to hire a general manager. Imagine being the general manager and the head basketball coach, who you're supposed to be making decisions for the team as general manager. The head basketball coach is also the team president of operations. So, you know, really kind of the cream filling in the middle of an Oreo cookie that could go bad potentially. That's a tough job. Detroit's got a long way to go to get competitive. I think Stan Van Gundy will do a very, very good job, and Detroit's probably a good spot for him with the personality that he has. Let's recap the NBA before we go to our next break here in about 5 or 6 minutes. The Pacers will play the Heat in the East Conference Finals. The Pacers, wow. I can't say it enough. They looked like they were down the tubes. They looked like they were 6 feet under. They rose. They're like the Walking Dead of the NBA. You know the TV show The Walking Dead? The zombies that never seem to die off? That's the Pacers. They look like they're dead. And then they get back up and they come at you. Their jaws are chomping. Claws are going. Sometimes you don't know what direction or what they see or don't see. But the Pacers will play the Heat. And they came back and beat the Hawks. They came back and beat the Wizards. But it's going to be tough to have to come back against the Heat. Coach Leonard, the legend, Bobby Slick Leonard, was just on the show. If you missed it, make sure you get it on podcast. He was on the first half hour of the show. You can't play that way against the Heat. You know, Coach Leonard agreed with me. You make the mistakes passing that the Pacers make, the Heat are going the other way with it because they know how to turn up their defense. All the great teams do. The Lakers did. The Bulls with Michael Jordan and Pippen did. The Celtics with Larry Bird did. All the great teams know how to turn it up and play defense. And they start the games playing defense, and they can continually turn it up and tight. James Worthy, I think, made the comment in an article about the Lakers. No D, no rings. That, you know, if you don't play defense, you can't win. So as much as fans love offense, you got to play defense because defense wins and defense creates offense. Defense creates offense. The Thunder, which everybody was on the Thunder. Oh, Kevin Durant, is he really? Is KD really the MVP? Well, he went for 39 last night as the Thunder took out the Clippers. He's been much maligned through the whole playoffs. But, folks, you don't go into the NBA against good teams and just sweep them. It doesn't happen that often. The media makes a big deal out of it. But Kevin Durant has stepped up time and time again. I believe it was 39 last night, and the Thunder take out the Clippers. So you've got the Thunder and the Spurs. I'm a little worried about the Spurs. Age bothers me. And now that Tony Parker may have a bad hamstring, if you have ever had a bad hamstring, you know what I'm talking about. So we're going to go to our break. When we come back, who's hot, who's not, with Don Schulteis. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar and Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773 773- 877-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is John Goldsberry, former Boilermaker and Buffalo Bill, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. Put all the money in and let it roll with you. When you're hot, you're hot. La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. When you're hot, you're hot.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. Who's hot? Who's not? Don Schulteis is going to tell us. Don, welcome to the show. Great to be back on this segment, Coach. We got some great things to talk about on the hot and not so hot side today. Take it away. I'm sure you heard Bobby Slick Leonard. Well, it's great. Right after a great Game 6 series win for the Pacers over the Wizards, Coach K and Joe Show gets Bobby Slick Leonard. You got to love the guy. It was a coup, Coach. You and Joe got it done, and, you know, they wrap up this semifinal round for the Eastern Conference Championship, going into the championship round now against the Miami Heat, and you guys got the Hall of Famer himself on to talk about the insights of the game and the upcoming series. It was you guys are hot today, Coach. I would have to give all the credit to Joe and say, in my who's hot and who's not list, Joe, even though he's not a lot, he's hot right now. Don, let's take us into your first hot not list. All right, well, we've got a fair number of NBA hots and nots today. I just give you that warning up front. But one name we have not talked about on our list over the last several weeks is one LeBron James, Coach. In game four of their series with the Brooklyn Nets, he scored and matched his playoff high 49 points in a 102-96 win over the Nets. He missed a free throw, the second free throw of a two-shot foul that could have set a new record. And I know after the game he was interviewed and he was kind of hot himself for missing that because he mentioned that 50 in a playoff series game is just something that is more joining the elite. But anyway, matching his high of 49 points to put him up 3-1 against the Nets, and obviously we all know they went on to win that series. LeBron James leads the list of hot this week with his 49, matching his all-time total in playoffs. So he's hot, baby. I hope he goes cold, Don, going into this Beat the Heat series. I agree with that. I hope we got him on the not-so-hot list here in the upcoming week or two. On the other side, one former assistant coach for the Pacers, Coach Mike Brown, was fired as the Cleveland Cavs coach. Coach, it's one thing about getting fired once, but this marks the second time that Brown was fired by the Cavs. Back in 2010, he was fired, and the owner, Dan Gilbert, said after that he had made a big mistake firing Brown in 2010. But guess what? In 2014, he did it again. Mike Brown, former head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers, is not hot. And you know what's sad about it is because he's the coaching jobs he's had, other than when LeBron was there, he hasn't had a lot to work with. And believe me, I thought after they made some adjustments, got rid of Bynum, they actually played pretty good basketball the second half of the season. They didn't have much to work with in Cleveland. So, you know what? Cleveland is Cleveland. What do they call it, Don? The mistake by the lake? Yeah, that's their daunting nickname, no doubt. Now, flipping to the other side, Brownsburg High School. Up here, it's outside of Indy, a little to the northwest of Indiana, in Metro Indy, has the distinction, Coach, of being the only Indiana high school with athletes in Major League Baseball, the NBA, and the NFL. Drew Storen is on the Washington in baseball. Lance Lynn, St. Louis Cardinals. Tucker Barnhart, a Cincinnati Red. Gordon Hayward is on the Utah Jazz, and he's getting married next week. Jones on the New England Patriots. So Brownsburg, the only high school in this state that has former high school student athletes in three professional sports. Coach, that high school is hot. They are hot, and if you are growing up in Brownsburg, the sky's the limit, at least from what you can at least dream of. And to Gordon Hayward, Donnie, I'd say slow down on this marriage. You're in the NBA. You're young. There's a lot of things you got to do. Make it a longer engagement. Go another couple years. Well, that's not going to happen, Coach, because Don Schulteis is headed to that wedding next weekend. So I'll give you more details on one of the shows. On the other side, on the not-so-hot side, the fraud trial. I wonder if your listeners have been following this. The fraud trial for former University of Georgia head football coach Jim Donnan, where he is accused of major fraud, security fraud, wire fraud, money laundering, Ponzi scheme. He built investors, and not just any investors, Coach, friends in the coaching community. In fact, several college coaches, including Mark Gottfried, who is the head coach at North Carolina State on the men's basketball team, he in particular lost $300,000 in this shenanigan. And former coach Jim Donnan has built these investors of $23 million. And the jury is still deliberating his fate. But for me, former University of Georgia head football coach Jim Donnan, you are rock bottom, not hot. He is in trouble, big trouble. And that's why you need to call a financial advisor who knows what they're doing. Give Janet Schulteis a call at Edward Jones, 812-479-8125. Get it right. Don't get into the Ponzi schemes. Don, guy should have sucked to football, or maybe not, because he ain't hot. No doubt about it. Now, on the other side, a senior here locally at Park Tudor High School, cross-country runner, track runner, has run a half marathon in all 50 states of this great union, Coach, and he has raised over $40,000 for tuition scholarships for inner-city students to attend Park Tudor. Park Tudor is a school that has the elementary to through high school. His goal and mission is to continue running and to reach $100,000 to put into the tuition pool at Park Tudor. I'd say, Ryan, at the age of 18, that dedication, that discipline, that mission that he's got, he is hot, Coach. No doubt about it. Hot to not. Who we got? All right, flipping on the not so hot. You know, we talked a lot about the Pacers, the Jekyll and Hyde Pacers, but in game, you know, they're we'll save game six for a little later on this list, but game five, the Pacers lose. They look terrible, as you pointed out to Slick Leonard in your interview conversation, and they were, you know, all but looked like they were packed up and ready to fold up the 10 and go home. But not only did they lose game five at home, Coach, but how can a team like the Pacers, the number one seed in the East, They were out-rebounded 62-23 in a game five at home. They were out-rebounded 39 rebounds, Coach. That makes them not hot.
Oof.
And that's what worries me. That, Don, that worries me a lot, because you know what? When you get out-rebounded, whether it's on the offensive end or defensive end, it leads to easy baskets. Big worry. Big concern.
No doubt about that. We saw that in what was a rout in Game 5.
Flipping to the hot side, Coach, and it's the Indiana Hoosier men's basketball team, not because they sewed up any big-time recruits, not because they're heading to the Final Four, not because maybe they've replaced their head coach. No! Indiana men's basketball team has achieved a perfect APR, academic progress rate score, each of the last 4 years. IU was the only Big Ten program to hit the 1,000, which is perfect, in each of these past 4 years. And one Tom Clappy Crean coach gets a 20,000 bonus for each one of those APR achievements. So he's $80,000 richer. The men's basketball program is the only program in the Big Ten to get that perfect score. I would say that despite their ugly and horrific season this year, the program is hot on the academic side. Definitely, I guess that's worth $4 million in salary per year, getting that APR perfect score. But too bad the NCAA doesn't let you into the March Madness tournament with it. But okay, Don, I'll take your word on it. He's hot. All right, on the not so hot side, and we'll bring up the eliminated Washington Wizards. Did you know that they lost all three of their home games in this Pacers series at home? But more importantly, last night with their loss to the Pacers at home in the deciding game of this series, it marks the sixth straight time that they have lost at home in a series deciding game. Six straight times this has happened at home. I'd say when they're playing at home and it's a series deciding game, Coach, the Washington Wizards are ice cold, not hot. Thankfully for the Pacers, Don. Thankfully for the Pacers. And I'm going to end this week's hot and not hot with David West and the Pacers. David West, in my opinion, Coach, last night scoring 29 points with 6 rebounds, but more importantly, his leadership of rallying the troops to put in a for what was almost the entire game a rock solid performance, and leading the Indiana Pacers to this series win over the Washington Wizards. We'll end the segment by saying that these guys are hot going into the series for the Eastern Conference Finals against the Miami Heat. Beat the Heat, baby. Beat the Heat. So that's what we got this week, Coach. Wonderful job. And Don, getting off to a good start, I just think it is critical for the Pacers. I've got to believe they're excited in Indy, but so cautious yet because of the way the last 2 months have been played. If this situation would be happening at the All-Star break, where the Pacers were at the All-Star break, I would imagine it would be a volcano in Indianapolis of emotion and being pumped up. And now there's excitement and enthusiasm, but probably a lot of caution because, hey, the Pacer fans have made it clear, when the Pacers aren't playing well down the stretch here, they've let them know it. In no uncertain terms, the Pacer fans will boo them and let them know you're stinking up the joint. Can't afford to do that against the Heat. No doubt about it. As your guest, Slick Leonard, said earlier, if we don't come ready to play, they'll beat on us early and often, and it'll be ugly, ugly, ugly. And we've got to rise to the occasion. As David West said last night after the game and being interviewed, they've been talking about this since last year, this rematch in the series. I don't know if teams are able to flip that switch and to start getting on a roll, or we should expect them to be kind of Jekyll and Hyde going forward. But, boy, if you're ever going to get pumped up to play a game, it's got to be now. And so I'm hoping, but like you said, I join a lot of Indiana Pacer fans, and knowing that we're cautious to say that we're quote unquote back and playing where we should be. I mean, we've shown more signs of it, but boy, I'd love for it to kick in and lock in. Well, it all gets started on Sunday. Great stuff again, Don. We'll see you next week. Back on the show with the Who's Hot and Who's Not segment. Folks, we're going to go to break. I'm a little out of breath. I know I talk too much. I'm a little out of breath. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Joe's going to have his interview with motorsports and NASCAR insider Mark Tubby Harder, a childhood friend of ours that has been in the motorsports business, the fishbowl, if you will, for many, many years. We're going to go to break. He'll be talking with Mark Harder when we come back. You've been listening to, and aren't you glad you have been, the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Uvalar with Uvalar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Right now, Uvalar's has a huge selection of awesome pre-owned vehicles, cars, trucks, vans, sport utilities, in most all price categories, and they're all priced to sell. Some are certified, and some have special low APRs, but best of all, they are all priced to sell. Uvalar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends for great pre-owned vehicles since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. This is Joe, and Coach is taking a little break right now. He's talked so much in the last segment that he needs to rest the vocal cords. And we're talking to Mark Harder. Mark Harder, not only involved in the world of motorsports, but also a class of 1981 graduate of Jasper. Coach K and I both are class of 81. We've had Mike Ballinger. We've had Bo Lamassis. And now we've got Mark Harder. Mark, how you doing today?
Very good. Yourself?
Doing great. We're doing great. We're excited to have you on the show and to let people know what you're doing in the world of motorsports. First question I've got for you is, motorsports, I know you've always been interested in it. When did you first start following motorsports and realizing that it's something that you had a passion for?
Well, I think it goes back to our family was friends with Spike Gelhausen and his family, and obviously we were very involved, not involved, but big fans of his and followed him through his Indy career, and, it's really where my interest developed in potentially doing something in racing as a career. I certainly didn't have any talent or desire to be a driver, but fortunately the business side of motorsports is just as important as the competition side, and after college, and my parents moved to Indianapolis shortly after graduation, so it allowed me to spend a lot of time at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And fortunately, both myself and my brother Mel were able to make careers in motorsports. Mel was the vice president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway for 23 years and just recently took a position at the Circuit of the Americas in Austin, Texas. So we've both been fortunate to be able to do something that we've always wanted to do.
Okay, yeah, you said you after graduating at IU, I know I talked to Mike, you said you were in the abrasive sales business for a while before you decided to go into motorsports. And give us a little background on how you got involved with it after a short stint in abrasive sales.
Well, you know, like I said before, we spent so much time here at the racetrack in Indianapolis that both Mel and myself were able to make some contacts, and I used to help people out during the month of May and actually got my first big break in 1990 when I knew the team owner for the Domino's Pizza team, and they hired me on May 1st, 1990, and at the end of the month I was standing in Victory Lane with Ari Leyendyke. So it's all about being at the right place at the right time and going from there. So I've been very fortunate to sort of be in the right position at the right time, and the rest is history. So.
Okay, you said you were a member of Ari Leyendyke's team, and take us through a typical month of May on the business side of an Indy sports IndyCar team.
Yeah, well, there, you know, obviously it takes sponsors to make race teams go, so. And sponsors need to get a return on their investment in the sport. It's not about just sticking a logo on the side of the car and watching it go around. So, you know, you're constantly taking care of the sponsors and their clients and helping them develop programs that get their customers involved into the program and getting them exposure. So, you know, a lot of what I do is manage hospitality. That they use at the racetrack. I manage several suites. I have some hospitality equipment that they utilize at the racetrack. I have some mobile hospitality equipment that goes from race to race to race that the sponsors use as their mobile hospitality facility at each venue. So that's really, I get involved on the kind of the sponsor management and hospitality management side of things.
Okay, you know, as a member of Ari Leyendyke's team, you actually won an Indy 500. You know, after the race, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of celebrating, but your job's probably just beginning.
Yes, I remember that day well. The team owner turned to me and said, oh, by the way, we need to organize a victory dinner for about 125 people. And I was on the phone in Victory Lane with the people at St. Elmo's who graciously accommodated our needs, and we hosted a party that night for 125 people. So, yeah, that was a good time. So,
you know, there's been quite a few Jasper connections to motorsports. You mentioned Spike Gelhausen being an influence. Have there been any other influences from the Jasper area that also helped get you involved with motorsports?
Well, yeah, you got to throw Jasper Engine and Doug Bobble into the mix. I think what they did on the NASCAR side was very well done. I mean, they were a small team that went pretty far, and they did a great job. And actually, you know, even when they stopped owning the race team as being a part of the engine building process with Penske Racing, I mean, Penske Racing is the New York Yankees of auto racing. So to be associated with Roger Penske just gives a testament to how good Jasper Engines is. So in the 2000s, I got involved in NASCAR, so I was very aware of what Doug and Jasper was doing, and I've worked a little bit with them in the past as well. So, yeah, so it's certainly, you know, what Jasper Engines did on the NASCAR side was very impressive.
Okay. Mark, you own a company called Special Events Incorporated out of Phoenix, Arizona. Tell us a little bit about that company and where that travels take you with that.
Well, essentially, you know, I got my start in 1990 working with Ari Leyendijk's team, and unfortunately, the lifespan of race teams are dependent upon their sponsorships, and I quickly found out that, you know, there's a lot of movement and teams start up and fold and this, that, and the other, and I thought if I'm going to stay in this business, I wanted to have some control of my destiny. So at the time, the team I was working for, which was Granatelli Racing, was based in Arizona, and I just decided at that point, instead of moving from team to team and year to year, that if to do it on my own. So I formed my own company and essentially marketed myself to the sponsors directly so that I could have a little more control of my destiny. And fortunately, it's worked. I did that in 1992, so 22 years later, we're still plugging away. And essentially, I chose Phoenix because I like the weather. So I've been able to live in Phoenix and work in racing because really my office is the racetrack. So, you know, I've traveled through the IndyCar series for all these years as well as a lot of the NASCAR races in the last 13 years. So, yeah, it's really about being at the racetrack. So it's not that dependent upon where you live. So, but yeah, so, and I've been able, you know, to hire people to assist in all the things that we're doing and everything. So, yeah, it's worked well. I would have never dreamed 22 years ago where I'm at today, but I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Okay, yeah, you said the Harder family has been involved, you know, in the world of motorsports. So, you know, and Mel is now the Senior Vice President and General Manager of Circuit of Americas. You know, we're planning on having Mel on a little bit later, but could you just tell us a little bit about what the Circuits of Americas is?
Well, Circuit of America is a new race facility built in Austin, Texas, and it was built primarily to host a Formula One race. Indianapolis hosted a race for 8 years, I think, from 2000 to 2007. And although it was successful in the beginning, I think in the end, it wasn't what I would call a real road course. And, you know, the European racetracks that they race at are built purposely for Formula One racing. And so the guys in Austin build a Formula One racetrack based on hosting a Formula One race, and they have. They also have MotoGP, which is motorcycles, which is essentially the Formula One of motorcycles. And they host other events there, but certainly the Formula One race is their big deal. The state of Texas, I think, threw in $25 million a year to help them be able to afford the sanctioning fee for Formula One. The expenses of hosting an F1 race are just astronomical, and that was part of the reason that it's no longer in Indianapolis, is it just became economically unviable for the Indianapolis Motor Speedway to continue on. But certainly Mel's experience in hosting the race here at Indianapolis made him an ideal candidate for the Circuit of America, and that's why he's there.
Okay, you know, the Indy 500's right around the corner, and you're there and very involved. And can you tell us who do you feel like some of the favorites are, and who are some of the newcomers that we should be watching out for?
Well, I call it the big three. You've got the Ganassi team, Penske team, and the Andretti team. You know, I think between those three, they're running 12 cars, if I'm not mistaken. So, Any one of those guys can win out of that. You know, you've got Castro Neves with Penske that's going for his fourth win. You can never count him out. At Ganassi, you have Scott Dixon and Tony Kanaan, who's last year's champion. I think those two guys are favorites. At Andretti, I think, you know, Marco Andretti is ready to win this race. Brian Hunter Ray is ready to win this race. Carlos Munoz, a rookie for Andretti last year, is back with them. He finished second in his rookie year, so I think he's a good candidate. I think from an underdog perspective, you've got to give Ed Carpenter, who's a Butler graduate, he's kind of the Brad Stevens of IndyCar racing. He's always ran well here. I think that he's a very good candidate to win as well. I think he'd also be a very popular winner. You know, some of the newcomers, you've got Kurt Busch, who's coming over from the NASCAR side, who in 3 days has been in the top five in practice speeds every day. So he's really adapted well to the IndyCar side of things. So I think that'd be a good story to watch as well. There's a lot of rookies, and there's Jack Hawksworth, who tested the wall on Wednesday evening, and the wall won. So it'd be interesting to see him bounce back. You've got Juan Pablo Montoya back after his only race here in 2000 he won, and he had a race since here in the Indianapolis 500. So I think that would be an interesting story to watch as well. But it's a good race. I think you probably have 15, 16 guys who could potentially win, and that's a pretty good field.
Well, you know, Mark, thanks for taking some time to be on the Coach K and Joe show. And also I'd like to let people know, if you also like to read about Mark Carter and what he's doing, you can log on to www.jaspertodayonline.com next Wednesday, and there will be a story about him in our special motorsports edition. There's so many connections to Jasper in the world of motorsports that we decided the month of May would be a perfect time to do one of those. So, Mark, thanks for taking the time out to visit with us.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. So, good luck with your show.
Okay, and we'll be back right after this message from our sponsors. You've been listening to the Coach K and Joe show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe show.
Hi, this is Tyler Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe show.
It's not the U.S. Postal mailbag. It's not the Joe mailbag. It's the Coach K mailbag.
New York and New Jersey love Coach K. Go Hoosiers!
Coach K speaks the truth!
Woo! Now here is Coach K and Joe with this week's Coach K's mailbag.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe show. I'm Joe, and joined by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schulteis. Coach, before we get into the questions, you know, we've had some very successful people in our class, haven't we?
Yeah, I think we've, you know, I growing up, a lot of those guys and a lot of those gals, you could see that they were smart, they had courage, they weren't afraid to take chances, they weren't afraid to fail, they weren't afraid to be laughed at. I think that's very important for the younger people that listen to our show. Don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to be laughed at. I tell my son all the time, my youngest son, you know, don't be afraid to ask questions in class. I know, Joe, we've all been that way growing up. We don't want our classmates to laugh at us. We don't want the teacher to give us that look. But as you get older, those types of experiences, that type of courage, that type of self-confidence leads you into opportunities that you may never thought of. I thought one of the great things that Mark Carter said was he started out with a racing team, a very big name in racing. It didn't make it. He didn't fold his tent and run away. He said, I love doing this. I got to figure out another way. And so he continued to do that. You know, Bola Mastis, who's been on the show, Mike Berger, he wasn't in our class, but right behind us, Mike Ballinger. I can think of Beth Nante Russell, a lot of other people in our class. And I know a lot of classes can talk about that. There are people that had courage to take a chance, to try. And when you fail, you get your feelings hurt. You get your confidence shaken a little bit. You want to hide for a while.
But you got to go back out and try the next thing. And you got to say, I like this. I can do this. I can make a difference doing it. And the Harder family always loved racing. It was quiet, though, growing up in Jasper, because Jasper was more of an indoor court sport or field sport, you might say, football field, basketball court, baseball field. Racing was always a part of their life. He mentioned Spike Gelhausen. I know his dad used to tinker with cars out in the big garage they had. I always thought, you know, they had this big detached garage that was as big as their house. And I used to walk up Jackson Street, and I can still remember it, five blocks, to visit the Harders, Mike and Mark and Mel. They were always this good family. And they've all done well. They've all done well because they've all been willing to take chances. Now, you've got to take calculated at times, folks. But I thought Joe did a great job talking with Mark and known him for a long time and very happy that he and his high school sweetheart are enjoying their lives together, mostly in the sun. Having said that, Joe, before we get to the mailbag, you know, it really is the case. You got to be willing to take chances with the idea that you might come up short. But just because you come up short doesn't mean you can't step back up and try it again or learn from what you fell short on and say, but you know what? I don't want to go in that direction. I want to go in this direction. And we're always growing. We're always expanding. We're always changing. If we're willing to take a chance, if we're willing to try, if we're willing to do something we didn't think we originally thought we would do or would like to do, if we're willing to do those things, doors that are already open become more visual to us, more clear to us. And, of course, Janet Schulteis and Edward Jones, financial advisor, and Beth Geltz, her assistant, they help you with those opportunities. Because Edward Jones has a tried and true plan for you to perpetuate you, to leave a legacy for your family, or to put you in a position to go forward and do some of the things you want to do. This is the time, folks. You can't do it on your own. No team, no great players win without teammates. Even in individual sports, you got to have the caddy. You got to have the coach, swing coach, the tennis coach. You have to have that. Well, that's what financial advisors do. They help you formulate the plan you need, and they stick with you. They don't just send you a statement every quarter. That's not how Edward Jones, Janet Schulteis, and Beth Geltz work. They continually meet with you, talk to you, and find out where you want to go and how you're going to get there. So give her a call, 812-479-8125. I don't care where you're at. She works with clients all over the country, and I kid you not. Edward Jones, tried, tested, and true plan to help you succeed and have the opportunities to do the things that you want to do. Joe, let's hit the mailbag.
Okay, the first question you kind of hit on, but I want to go ahead and ask it since it was asked by one of our listeners. Maybe you can just touch on the Southern Indiana part of it. Any news on the high school hoops coaching openings in Southern Indiana from Terry and Honeyberg? I know you've touched on it, but let's just touch on it briefly.
Well, you hear rumors and different things. I don't have any facts on anything. I'm pretty sure it's a done deal at Gibson Southern. Kyle Runyon, who was the Pike Central coach a few years ago, former UVA's basketball player, been in administration at Pike Central lately. I believe he's going to teach business and coach the boys' basketball team. The girls' coaching job at Pike Central, I believe, has been filled with an assistant on the boys' side. I think there'll be a job in DuBois County opening up, possibly. I'm not going to get into the school, and it's not Jasper. DeKalb up north looks like they're ready to pick a guy. Noblesville, even though they've got a lot of residual feelings, bitter feelings about the Dave McCullough situation, one of our contributors to our show, Indianapolis Star high school writer, Kyle Neddenrip, on Twitter, there is a story
that you can connect to hear about what possibly may take place at the Noblesville School Board meeting as supporters of Dave McCullough come forward. Edgewood, it appears they have hired the head coach at Rockville High School. If you remember, they were in the 1A or 2A state finals a couple years ago, have had a pretty solid team. Meharon, something like that, the coach there. You can check that out. Pike Central Boys, I think I'm hearing out of Evansville. This is coming out of Evansville that they are going to or have offered the job to the Bossy assistant, boys basketball coach at Bossy. And Floyd Central, I don't know if that's been filled, folks. If it has been, let us know. But that's what I know has been going on with high school jobs. So if there's other ones out there, let us know on the show what has been filled and what has not. One other school, gosh darn it, I was thinking about, it's up north, can't remember exactly the school, but we'll have an ongoing list. You can also get on the IHSA website page. I think they have openings and listings, and if you're a member of the IBCA, which you can be, you don't have to be a coach to be a member of the IBCA, you can look on their listings board as well. And what is it? Hickory Husker? That's a pretty popular website when it comes to hoops, Joe. Hickory Husker, I think it is. They have a lot of, it's rumor, but they have a lot of info about different jobs and things.
Okay, next question comes to us from John in Louisville. We are out of state here. Do you feel Trey Lyles would have committed to Kentucky if he knew that there were going to be so many people from the team returning next year?
I think, John, that it would have muddied the water a little bit. I think the idea for a lot of these players is they're going to go there as freshmen. It's going to be one-and-done situations, or they're going to be the key recruit, and whoever's there is really a backup role, was recruited that way. So I think that might have changed how he looked at it. But you know what? I don't think that it's going to hurt Trey Lyles to be a two-year guy. I really don't. And if he doesn't start this year immediately, he may be starting by the end of the year. And if he doesn't start at the end of the year, he'll be starting his sophomore year. And I don't think 2 years in college is going to be an end for Trey Lyles. So I would say, John, that had he understood that some of those guys were still going to be there, that they're going to win national championship, all this stuff was going to go on, this team was going to be the team, or get to the national championship game, and all this was going to go on, some guys were going to stay around, it may have changed it. But I still don't think he's made a bad decision. I think it's a good place to go. I think he's going to be playing with some talented returners that can help him learn. And, folks, I can tell you right now, coaching makes a big difference in preparing players. But when you have returning players that know how to play, that know how to teach their teammates, you get better real quick on the court.
Coach, I think all our listeners that are IU fans probably were like ready to text us that Kentucky did not win a national championship when you luckily you corrected yourself and we were able to weather the storm of text messages we would have got. So next one's a baseball question. This comes from Tim and Jasper. The Reds sit at 18-21. What do they have to do to turn things around? Also, is Scott Rolen officially retired from baseball?
I'll take the second part first. From my understanding, Scott Rolen has not, and I could be wrong, maybe it just happened, has not filled out and handed in his retirement papers yet to Major League Baseball. And that is an act that these players take to officially retire that makes them, puts them in a position, whether they can or whatever benefits are out there in retirement. And I would say also, for Hall of Fame consideration. My understanding, I haven't talked to Scott in probably over a month. We haven't talked personally longer than that, but we have texted at different times. But I do not know that if he's officially retired. But you know what? If you go to an IU baseball game at Bart Kauffman Stadium, you may see him sitting there. He's a big IU base, helped with their new stadium, and he can be seen in Bloomington. The first part, the Reds, we'll have to have Jeff Cochran on to talk about that. But I think it's just the bottom line is hitting. Now, they split last night a doubleheader with San Diego, but they have not been consistent at the plate. And, guys, they spent a lot of money on those guys. Their pitching has been pretty solid for the most part, but they have not been able to mount rallies, get ahead in games, be consistent. But I'm going to tell you what Scott Rowland always told me. It's a long season. It is a long season. And I can tell you, just think back to last year. Where were the Los Angeles Dodgers right now, Joe? Where were they? They were way down in the standings. People were talking about Don Mattingly getting the axe. They were falling apart. The Dodgers weren't coming through. It's a long season. And Joe, my partner on this show, knows better than anybody when it comes to baseball. Rallies happen. Momentum changes. You start winning games. Pitching and hitting happen at the same time. It's just a long season. I think the Reds, in that division, the way the Cardinals are playing, and then the Cubs, you get the Cubs in there. Sorry, guys, but the Cubs are in there. That's not a problem.
Okay. Okay, the next question we've got Pacer questions available now, of course. What are the keys to the Pacers knocking off the Heat? Chris from Jasper.
They're slim, and they're slim because the Pacers have had trouble holding home court advantage in these playoffs. But the X factor, and I'm going to say it again, two things I think have to happen, and I talked with Slick Leonard. I'm not even going to bring up those things. We have to be a better passing team. We just have to. We have to limit turnovers. But the two people that I think are critical are Paul George, how he evens out the series between him and LeBron James, point-wise, defense-wise. You know, Paul George matches up with LeBron James probably physically and athletically better than anybody in the league. Is he as strong? No. Is he as talented? No, not at this point. But he matches up well with him. He can create problems. His long arms, long legs, matches him in height, that type of thing. The other guy is Hibby, Roy Hibbert. Can he control the circle, the area around the paint? Because the Heat are at their best when they can transition or when LeBron James can drive to the basket, when Dwayne Wade can drive to the basket. Dwayne Wade is not the player he used to be every night out, but he can be the player he once was a few nights out. And he does that best when he can get to the rim. He's quick, and he can jump. Roy Hibbert changes all that. So Paul George needs to play good basketball and somehow cancel out LeBron James to a degree. Roy Hibbert has to be there for the game, controlling the paint. And then we've got to be careful on the turnovers. Because, guys, the Heat are going to turn those turnovers into automatic baskets. And the difference is they're long-armed, they're athletic. They can get out in the passing lanes just a few inches more than most other teams, and that's where the trouble starts. You don't even have to get the steal, just knock the ball away, and then it becomes in play and somebody else comes up with it. So that's my thoughts on that. It's going to be tough. Joe, it's going to be tough, but you know what? I'd rather have it than be sitting at home and watching it.
Next question. If the Pacers get past the Heat, will the series be too much of a toll on them to finish the job against Oklahoma City or San Antonio? Maury from Evansville.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. If the
if the Pacers win against the Heat, momentum is there, is going their way the whole way. They have beaten as good a team as there is in the NBA. They can match up with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Again, you've got a Paul George, Durant matchup. We've got the people that can match up with them inside and out. The Spurs play great basketball, but if Tony Parker continues to have problems with that hamstring, Joe, that changes things for the San Antonio Spurs. Duncan cannot give you the minutes. He can give you some great minutes, but he can't. You know, seven games, tough. Let's hope Oklahoma City takes the Spurs to seven games, and it won't matter. Pacers will be ready to play.
Okay, Coach, you know, we always encourage people to call in, and we do have a caller. We have Mike from Pittsburgh who'd like to ask you a question for the Coach K mailbag.
Oh, my God.
Mike, you're on with Coach.
Coach K, last year when San Antonio lost to Miami in Game 6 in the finals that they should have won, I said, they're not going to get another chance. Coach, Oklahoma City is going to lay the wood to San Antonio. They've beaten four times. If you look at all the matchups in the key spots, Oklahoma City is far and by way more athletic. And, you know, the thing is the San Antonio, their bracket in the West has been weak, in my opinion. Dallas took them to 7. Portland's okay, but if you look at Oklahoma City, you had Oklahoma City, the Clippers, Memphis, and Golden State. I think that Popovich is doing a great job as always, but I think San Antonio is ready to run into a buzzsaw here. Oklahoma City's playing great, and I'm very surprised San Antonio is the favorite in this series, Coach.
Hey, Mike, I'll tell you what, I got to agree with you all the way. I do think Pop has done a great job with this team. I think the telltale for me with San Antonio was the struggle they had with Dallas to get out of that series, and the fact that Tony Parker may be a little lame. Hamstrings just don't heal up perfectly if you keep playing on them. I think that Oklahoma City is far and away the most athletic team. They can handle a long series better than San Antonio can if they can make it a long series. The only thing that gives San Antonio the opportunity to win, in my opinion, is they're smart. They're well-versed. They get it. They understand. But if Tony Parker is not capable of playing at the level he needs to, Duncan can't do it for the minutes he used to do it. They don't have the other pieces talent-wise, athletic-wise. I gotta agree with you. I think I give Oklahoma City the nod, even though earlier in the year I was picking the Spurs, but as soon as I heard about Tony Parker, I said, how do you handle Westbrook? How do you handle Durant? And no matter how much people have criticized KD, he has come up big when he has to come up big, and it won't shock me at all to see Oklahoma City playing in the finals against either Miami or Indiana. But I think most of the pundits, the media guys, they just love the way Pop coaches his team and that these guys are warriors. But even warriors get old. Even warriors get old.
Coach, my final point would be, last night, the one concerning factor I do have for OK City is Serge Ibaka left the game with a calf injury. And it's kind of up in the air how serious it is. In your opinion, if for some reason Ibaka were to miss the series or miss significant time, would that change your opinion at all on how the outcome of the series?
I would still say that I'm going to give the nod to Oklahoma City because I think that they can add some people in there. See, the thing for me is Duncan's going to come out and he's going to have some great games. And some of their other guys are going to play well, but they're not going to do it consistently. And I think we've seen that coming the last couple of years. You brought up the greatest example, and that was last year when San Antonio didn't get it done when they needed to. They just didn't have enough left, and Miami took over. And I think that's the same thing that can happen in this series. I think Oklahoma City, time is on their side. The longer the series goes,
better for Oklahoma City. But you do make a good point. I'm going to assume that that cab is not going to be as big an issue, and I would take a guy like Serge with a bad calf. I'd rather have that to deal with than Tony Parker, who needs to run the show and defend out on the perimeter with a bad hammy any day of the week. Mike, thanks
Coach,
for your call.
Yes, Coach, I have one final question. I know you're running short on time. I'm from Pittsburgh, and I watched Steven Adams as a freshman last year. This guy seems like his game is improving. He's more part of the offense and defense rotations for OK City. I like your thoughts on Steven Adams and his potential in the next few years in the NBA. How good can this guy be?
Well, he's on a team where we're not going to get to see his full potential, but he'll be able to grow and learn from some pretty good players around him. And they'll be able to accentuate his real skills and his abilities. But there's a lot of young players right now in the NBA that have some opportunities to be great players. But I'm going to tell you the same thing that they say about the NFL when quarterbacks come in. How much are you willing to learn? How much time are you willing to take to be a great player? We go all the way back to guys like Larry Bird. They didn't rest on their abilities. They kept coming in the gym. They kept learning. They kept trying to get better. So I think he's got great upside potential. We're just not going to see a whole lot of him because of the people he's playing with at this time.
Okay, Coach, that was a great call-in question. I love the call-ins, especially when they've got questions for us. Neil, great job by you. Great job by him. I've got a question. I'm excited. The IHSA is allowing 22 regular season games, and a lot of ADs are scrambling to figure out where those two games are going. But, you know, the Dubois County ADs all got together and figured a quick solution, a Dubois County championship that will be played over Christmas break in December. It's going to be hosted by Southridge the first year and Jasper the second year, and I don't know if it'll rotate or what, but it's going to be a regional format all one day. Two games, they solve their scheduling problems.
I think that's a great idea. And, Joe, I think people could go back to our podcasts. And I
yes,
think that they could hear that you and I brought that up several months ago, that we would love to see that happen. And we would love to see it. Listen to this, folks. We even said we'd love to see it in the old format of the holiday tournament, a one-day tournament. Play your game.
Yes, we did.
In the early afternoon, late morning, early afternoon, and play your consolation final at night and get it all in, and fans will come out, and players will be happier, and coaches will be happier, and you get it all done in one day, and it makes for a great event that people can plan. 2 days is tough. One day is perfect, and what a place to start it at Southridge.
And I know a lot of the coaches that aren't playing in these 3- and 4-day holiday tournaments are concerned with just that. I know Coach Gable from Jasper has mentioned that he really didn't want to spend a whole lot of time at that time playing games. You know, wanted a little family time for his players because it is the holidays, but also time to work on some things to get ready for the grind for the rest of the season. And I think it's perfect. One day, you're done. And that's a perfect idea.
I applaud the administrators. I applaud the athletic directors. Of course, Bardwell at Southridge and Noblet at Jasper. Guys, you got it right. Listen to me. I'll tell you when you got it wrong because I've been around the block a few times, grew up with this stuff. You got it right. You made something the coaches can get excited about, the players, and especially the fans. 2-, 3-, 4-, 5-day tournaments are too long. It's not fair to families. It's not fair to kids. It's not fair to coaches, unless it's for the state championship, something like that. This is perfect. One day, two games, you're either the runner-up, you're either the winner. I applaud Southridge, Jasper, Forest Park, Dubois. I'm assuming those are the four teams?
Yes, they are, and I'm excited that I love Southridge, but I'm also excited Jasper's going to get a chance. You know, the new beautiful gym, I think it'll be a great place to host that as well. you know, but I can never complain when I get to go to Southridge for a game, especially a tournament like this, because, you know, brings back the old days. You know, I remember Coach K hit shooting a three in a sectional, and most of us that were his friends yelling, no, and then yes, when he hit it, you know. It just brings back a lot of great memories, you know, you winning sectionals there, Terry Tucker tipping in the shot. I mean, there's just so many memories in that Southridge Memorial. I almost feel like I'm at home when I'm at the Huntingbird Memorial Gym.
Well, it is a great gym and great memories there, and I always had confidence, Joe. You got to be willing to take a chance, and I was. I had the courage. Hey, good
yes,
job,
you did.
Athletic directors. Good job, athletic directors and principals. Joe, we're getting to the end of the show. Let's go ahead and thank our guests. We want to thank the legendary Bobby Slick Leonard. My gosh, weren't we? Joe, you did a great job snapping him up, and I know he was busy today. We're hoping to have Candace Duncan on, Indy sports writer for the Pacers at some point. But having Bobby Slick Leonard just made winning this series that much more special to have him on the show. Don Schulteis, of course, with Who's Hot, Who's Not. Mark Harder with the Motorsports World. We want to appreciate our questions we got from different people and our call-in from Mike out of Pittsburgh. Folks, it's your show. We want to hear your comments. I speak the truth. That doesn't mean I'm right all the time. At least I'm right as far as I'm concerned. But we want to hear what you got to say, too. Thanks for joining us. Joe, take us home, buddy.
Coach, before I take us home, I want to mention one thing. I want to give an assist to Nancy Leonard. Coach Slick Leonard and Coach Ken Schulteis could not figure out Dwayne Wade. And I heard Nancy in the background, who was listening to the interview, tell Slick, it's Dwayne Wade. Did you?
Well,
so Nancy gets an assist.
She gets an assist, and she was right. But the reason I didn't say Dwayne Wade immediately, because, Joe, you know there's been some games that he has not been starting. They have limited his minutes. So I wasn't sure which one that would be.
But I thought it was neat that Nancy, the, you know, right there, Johnny on the spot, I have to give Nancy Leonard the assist of the show. She gets the assist of the show. So,
hey, well,
but,
you know, we need to find a sponsor for that, an assist. The Coach K and Joe Show assist for the show. Have to find a sponsor for that, Joe.
Nancy Leonard is the first. She gets the first. And, you know, it's a great show. You know, having Mark Harder on, Donnie, via the What's Hot, What's Not segments becoming very popular. You know, having Slick Leonard on, having Mike from Pittsburgh call in with a nice question. You know, we encourage our listeners, do that. If you got a question for us, you know, you don't only have to text. If you want to call and ask and maybe tell Coach K that he doesn't speak the truth, let's do it. You know, let's let him know that he's not always right.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for the vote of confidence with the listeners.
Well, okay. But, hey, I'll tell you what, you know, it's going to be a little coming up tomorrow, it's going to be a beautiful day. There's track meets. There's high school baseball. Jasper's got a big Hall of Fame classic this weekend. I'm sure there's other big baseball games. There's softball. There's tennis matches. There's high school events to go watch. And I encourage you, you know, if you want to find a nice, affordable way for your family to have some great entertainment, high school sports is the answer. And for Coach K, I'm Joe saying until next week, and we'll see you next week on the Coach K and Joe Show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelar & Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. See you next week.